They're looking to get Consider Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome back to another special edition of the Elm Park Rolls World Cup edition. It's part two now and we are sponsored by Phantom Brewery. Well, I've been joined by Alex Everson to talk about the last week since last Friday, and there's been a lot happening at the World Cup, hasn't there, Alex?
Yeah, it's just started to get exciting, hasn't it? We've had all the second group stage games, had the majority of the third group stage games as we talk, and there's been some shocks, not maybe as many as I was hoping for when we had the first round of games, but it's just starting to get into that kind of juicy portion of the tournament.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think some of the shocks are starting to kind of balance out slightly, aren't they? But having said that, Mexico went out last night, and that was the first time, and I think in their history, that they've never reached the round of 16. So that is going to be one upset area, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I saw that their manager got sacked as well today. First, and there was a bunch of stuff. Didn't qualify for the Gold Cup and didn't qualify for the Olympics. And the as a country, the last couple of years, they've just underperformed massively in football.
Yeah, totally. But let's get on to the Reading FC player. We are an RFC podcast. Well, first of all, Junior Hoylett, sadly for him, Canada are out of the World Cup. A 4-1 drubbing, I would say, by Croatia, Alex. It was pretty one-sided after the initial excitement of the first 30 seconds, wasn't it, for Canada with their first ever World Cup goal?
Yeah, even the first 20 minutes or so, I think Canada did play quite well in that game. You know, they scored, what was it, 66 seconds, 67 seconds, something like that. And at that point, you kind of thought, especially after the first game that they had, that they might actually be able to take the game to Croatia a bit. But I think the kind of after probably 25 minutes or so, you started to see that Canada's naivety was fairly evident, and that their strategy of basically just going gung-ho to try and score goals doesn't necessarily work in every game against experienced teams.
No, it's going to be... It's a lesson for them, isn't it, obviously, for Canada. They're going to be having the World Cup in 4 years' time, and I'm sure they're going to do a fantastic job then, Mexico and USA. But at least Junior Hoylett got 25 minutes, though, so, and he looked quite decent when he came on.
Yeah, again, he had a relatively good game, and it's one of those. He's probably one of those players. If he was a little bit younger and he'd had a, you know, World Cup like this, he'd probably be angling for a move somewhere. But because of his age and his contract, there's not really any kind of like need, is there? But I think he had another good game, and pretty much he's had 90 minutes, I think, of football now at the World Cup, and he's got another game. I think it's today. Later today, just to round off Canada's World Cup experience, as it were, and hopefully he can get another 65 minutes or so in that game. And he's done well, I think, for Canada, considering they are definitely the underdog in that group. They haven't disgraced themselves, and I think he's performed his role pretty well for what they've asked him to do, considering it's not been the same as what he's been doing at Reading all season.
Yeah, yeah, totally. They will round up their World Cup with a game against Morocco. Babar Rahman becomes the first player ever who's at Reading, technically not a permanent signing, obviously, to pick up a win at the World Cup. Came off the last 3 minutes for Ghana against South Korea in a 3-2 win. Obviously, that's limited impact, isn't it, Alex? But we still take it, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, he only got 2 minutes, but... Still counts. He seemed to come on just to defend the last couple of minutes when they were going into stoppage time, and that win for Ghana really like was needed, because without that, I think they're pretty much getting buried, aren't they, after they've lost to Portugal in the first game.
Yeah, totally. And we also have the loom in danger, obviously, for England, for Senegal in the round of 16. He hasn't played yet. They have got their Everton midfielder, Idriss Gueye, who's suspended, but he's highly unlikely to come in for him, isn't he, Alex?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised, given that Idriss Gueye is obviously a, you know, attacking midfielder, and Loom is just not. Having seen him at Reading this season, not an attacking midfielder. I don't really expect him to come in unless Senegal start to change their system somewhat. But the worry is definitely there that Loom is going to come on and do some sort of magical piece of skill that we haven't seen at Reading all season. We won't see this season at all for Reading, and then end up knocking England out somehow.
Oh, just imagine that. That would be... No, that's given me nightmares. That really has. Just thinking about the fact he could score a penalty. Let's say it goes to a penalty shootout and we get down to like the eighth or ninth player. And you got Loom stepping up to take it.
He'll just stick it top corner, won't he? He'll stick it edge top corner. He won't score a goal for Reading this season at all.
He's got one, hasn't he, from the corner?
Yeah, from now. Won't score another one. You know that if he gets a penalty against England, it's going top corner and pick it up. Just zero chance of getting it.
This is brutal, but let's be honest, as Reading fans, we would quite like him to start against us, wouldn't we? You know, it's not very friendly.
A little midfield battle between Jude Bellingham, Declan Rice and Mamadou Loom is, you know, I'd like to see it as an England.
I'd quite like to see that.
One of the things to note with that Senegal-England game is if England do end up losing, you know, God forbid, touch wood, we don't, is that Loom won't be available for the first game back next weekend against Coventry, because obviously Senegal will still be involved. And the quarterfinals, I think, are next weekend. They start next Saturday. So if we do get knocked out, then Loom will not be available for Reading.
Yes, hard to know where to go from that one. There's, lots of thoughts going through my head then. But we'll move on. England, obviously, will be playing Senegal, as we've just discussed there, after a convincing 3-0 win over Wales. I mean, it was totally one-sided, wasn't it? I mean, it could have easily been more, but I felt like we got into like third gear, maybe.
Yeah, I think once we scored the third goal, even after we scored the first goal, really, the game, it didn't die off as a contest necessarily, but it was because it was never really a true contest between two even teams. But I don't think England ever really got out of third gear all night, particularly. Wales... The tournament has come 3 or 4 years too late for Wales, really. The fact that they didn't qualify for the World Cup in Russia is that pretty much ended that kind of golden generation for Welsh players and Welsh football, I think. And if they were ever going to do anything at a World Cup, it was probably 4 years ago, not now, unfortunately, for them. I think England played pretty well against Wales. It obviously took a little bit of a while for us to keep going. I think the first half hour was slow, but after that, Rashford played relatively well. I think Foden was really involved. Do I think it was our best performance I've ever seen? Not necessarily, but it was more than adequate to beat, let's be honest, what is a majority of Championship or low-level Premier League players at best.
Yeah. I totally agree on all that. Unfortunately for Wales, it has come a little bit too late. But we take advantage of that and we move on. Some of the disappointments from this World Cup, I would never have predicted that Denmark would finish with 1 point. I find that shocking. And Belgium, they've been atrocious as well.
Yeah, Denmark were really poor. And I mean, the loss they had against Australia was... They've shown no attacking intent the entire tournament, really, Denmark. I mean, we've gone through three games and they've scored one goal and it was against France. There's so much to be disappointed about with Denmark, because so many people tipped them up as a dark horse for the tournament and had them qualifying definitely in second place behind France in Group D. And they've just been just so dull to watch more than anything. Absolutely zero threat going forwards. They really lack a focal point up front. I think is it Damsgaard who's there, and they're very, very boring. And Belgium, I think everybody, even in Belgium, has kind of accepted that Belgium's time maybe has passed by this point. However, I think that really we probably should be expecting better from Belgium, even if this is not necessarily their peak, you know, level of performance at this point. The fact that they're you know, going into their last game, and they have to get points against Croatia, otherwise they're out. And if realistically, if they don't win, they probably are going to get knocked out tonight. And it's no more than they deserve, really. They got outplayed by Canada quite badly. They got outplayed by Morocco. And I'm not sure Croatia are going to give them an easy game. So if they get knocked out, it's no less than they deserve, really.
No, totally. Another golden generation down the drain, isn't it? I mean, we know all about that being England fans. But, I mean, at least we've made a final with this one.
It's interesting talking of golden generations, because I think there's a lot of expectation around this group of players, especially in... around Southgate, and how, you know, this team is not necessarily playing as if they've got the handbrake off and they should be able to attack more and score more goals. And it feels like there's a lot more criticism of Gareth Southgate with this team than there ever was of say, Sven-Göran Eriksson and the golden generation of that era, despite the fact that I think that era also had a lot of talented players and was also, you know, often lauded as the golden generation of the time and really should have done better than they did. So it's an interesting comparison between the two kind of generations of players there.
Yeah, well, we all know that, like, people like to reminisce about that 2002, 2006 team and like how amazing they were, but they never got past the quarterfinal.
Ultimately, at tournaments, they always underperformed. So
yeah, and they had opportunities to do it. They had like the game against Brazil when they were 1-0 up. They then had a player sent off, but we can't be talking about that. We need to move on to the current day with England at the World Cup. We're going into the game against Senegal, which is on Sunday night, I think at 7 o'clock. Who do you start on the wings there, Alex? Do you start with Foden and Rashford, or do you go Saka in the mix, Grealish in the mix? I mean, you got some quality players there, but where do you start with?
I think whoever you leave out, people are going to be disappointed, right? If you leave out Foden after we beat in Wales, people are going to complain. If you leave out Saka after the fact that we scored 6 against Iran, people are going to be upset. So I think it's a difficult one, because whoever you pick is going to inevitably attract criticism from the other side. So I think if I was picking the 11, I think I would probably go Saka and Rashford, maybe. But I think it's a very difficult choice. I probably would go Rashford, because I think you benefit a bit more going forwards, or maybe not necessarily going forwards, but this Kane seems to benefit a little bit more having somebody who's maybe playing a little bit more central. So I'd probably go with Rashford just based on the last game, but I think it's a difficult one. I think any of that kind of like group, whoever you pick, is probably a good decision. Who would you go with?
Yeah, I'd probably go... I mean, like you say, you can't really go wrong, I don't think. I don't think you're suddenly going to have a massive kind of like drop-off of quality. I think I would go Foden on the left, because he seems to have far more impact in that position. That position, he plays a lot for City. And I think a player scores 2 goals, has the impact he had. I mean, I don't think Rashford had the most amazing game in the first half. There's a lot of times you miscontrolled the ball, but if you're scoring 2 goals and that amazing free kick, does it really matter? I don't think it does. So I think you've got to keep that momentum in the team. And we're undoubtedly going to see Saka, Grealish at some point during the game.
And probably
they will make an appearance.
Let's be honest. It's Gareth Southgate, so what we're probably going to get is Raheem Sterling and Saka.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, I forgot. It could be Raheem Sterling as well. Yeah, no. Yeah, it could easily be that. But even if you had that, would you say, oh, you know, that's not really good enough? Because you look at Raheem Sterling's record for England. Would you maybe like say his record is not the strongest at the moment out of all those 5?
I think he's fine, but I think he probably gets. Harsh rap is maybe the wrong term, but he probably doesn't get quite the praise that the others get, because he's had his moment in the sun, as it were, whereas Saka and Foden and even Grealish to an extent haven't. Sterling has kind of had his big breakthrough already, and he's been in the team for what is it, 10 years now, roughly? And he hasn't had that big international moment which people are waiting for. So I don't think that people have quite got that hype around him still, as they do for other players. I wouldn't necessarily mind if Sterling is in the team, wouldn't have an issue with it, but I can understand that there's definitely going to be more hype around some of the younger players.
It's always the way with younger players, though, isn't it, as well? It's always the way. It's like we've seen
people like to see what they're going to see in the future.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I understand that completely. Right? You look at someone like Jude Bellingham and you think, wow, where's this going to end? You just don't know, do you? Because I think he could play for any team, as we've said before. But let's get down to the predictions then. I'm going to say 3-1 to England. What are you going to say?
I think it's just the most 2-0 game there's ever been. I don't see Senegal being a huge threat. I mean, maybe I'm underestimating Senegal. I know they scored 5 goals in the group stage, but
they did play Qatar, though.
They did play Qatar.
But we played well, so that kind of, like, I don't know which one's worse. I don't know.
Yeah, that is true. And I don't think they necessarily played that well against Ecuador. I think they played okay, but I would struggle to see Senegal beating us in normal time, certainly. I think, 2-0, it just feels like a really kind of standard result of a group stage winner beating a second place team without too much trouble.
How far do you think England are going to go, Alex? And who is your eventual winner of the Golden Trophy?
Well, I was looking at this last night, and the way the draw was running out, I was desperate for Argentina to get knocked out because it would have opened up the draw so much for some teams. And if England had been in that section of the draw rather than the section they're in, it suddenly gave them a great chance to go really, really deep. I think inevitably we're probably going to end up meeting France in the quarterfinals now, right? Because France shouldn't really have any problems beating Poland on Sunday as well. I feel like if England beat France, I think they're going to get to the final.
But will they beat France? This is the prediction you've got to make, Alex. Do you think England can
beat France? I think they'll beat France. I don't know whether I've been that taken by France, if I'm honest, yet. I think beating Australia is all well and good, but it's Australia at the end of the day. I know they've qualified, but still, it was only Australia, right? And yes, they beat Denmark, but we've kind of discussed how poor Denmark were. And then they lost to Tunisia. Didn't perform particularly well against Tunisia. I think England would have enough to at least match France and take it very, very close. I'll say they'd beat France. If we meet France, they'll beat France and they'll get to the final. I don't know who the final would be against. I've just looking at the kind of the way that the way that the schedule kind of lines up, my guess is that we probably meet Brazil in the final, potentially.
That's my eventual winner. I can't see anyone beating Brazil. I don't think it's the best Brazil team.
England versus France in the quarterfinals. Hmm. England against, I mean, the other group is, well, the other quarterfinalists could be anybody, really, I think. I'll probably say Portugal. So I think if we're gonna win it, I think we'll have to beat France, Senegal, France, Portugal, and then Brazil in the final. I think Portugal are not that good either.
I'm not either. For me, that sounds a bit daunting, but we will see, won't we?
Got to be the best teams at some point if you're going to win this tournament.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we don't normally do that.
As the Euro show, you don't have to beat the best teams. You can just get a nice run.
We will see. Well, thanks a lot for everyone who's joined us. We will be back next week, hopefully, talking about England in a quarterfinal. But we will see.
Cheers. And some Reading content as well.
Yes, we will.
With Reading being back.
God, imagine that. Yeah, Reading. We'll have a pre-match one as well, won't we?
And I guess the last thing to note for anybody who hasn't noticed is that the quarterfinal is next Saturday. So there is a chance that the Reading game will get moved next Saturday to an earlier kickoff. So probably best to just double check what time kickoff is going to be next week before you turn up at the stadium after the game's finished.
That would be, I'd love to see that happen. That's the kind of thing I would do. So cheers. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye.